はい。
うん。なるほど、勉強。
All right, going live. So we are here. Got a minute or so, and trying to get on. Hope everyone's had a good afternoon. All right, should be coming up here. Amen. Got to do some rearranging on the message for this morning. It came out on YouTube great, but I'm going to have to re-record the audio so I can make a CD. But Lord's definitely given us, we have got this down. We've got about three phones working at a time. In fact, right now I pulled out my old one that Brother Stephen had given me a long time ago, and I had kind of retired it. Jeremiah lost the DVD remote. And it's got an IR capability to it, so I can use it as a DVD remote. And so I pulled it out the other night, and then tonight I was like, you know, I could put that app on there so that I can record audio on it, and then just take it on to my drive so that I can upload it and download it and cross load it and do what I need to do to make CDs. So. Lord's given us capability. It's just part of it. It's just learning it and being able to use it. I think as well the proficiency of it, just trying to keep it to where it all goes at the same time and go the right direction, push the right button at the right time, not try to use too many mics on the same device. And that's where I was this morning. I was using my computer to record the audio, but I also had the YouTube page up where I'm recording. So I could make sure how everything's running there, and it was robbing the mic. So anyway, I'll get all that done. We'll get everything out, and I appreciate all your patience with us. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we'll be back at the church for drive-in service. Weather's looking good, and I'm thankful for all the support that everyone's came and been a part of. I noticed we got about 7 on. We're going to go ahead and get started tonight. And I'd like to start off with singing page number 125 in your songbook, the Solid Rock. We don't sing this a whole lot. I do like the song. I know the song, but every time you get ready to lead the song, it doesn't matter. It always leaves you. So we're going to sing the Solid Rock. And I kind of think back about what we learned this morning through the Word of God. And I'm thankful I have a rock I can stand on. I'm thankful that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So let's start off here. Page number 125, the Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On the last, When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have, that we can still come to church, Lord, amidst of uncertainties, amidst of confusion. And Lord, I'm just thankful for the way that you touch and move and direct. And Lord, I'm thankful for answered prayers. Lord, I pray that you would just meet with us tonight. I pray, Father, for encouragement. And Lord, I just pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Amen. Good to see some still tuning in, coming on. Brother Duke had just signed in. It's good to see him as well. Don't want to forget now, every Sunday morning when we have service, I want us to be able to be together for just a few moments after the service. And, of course, just when we come together live, next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll be back at the church. We'll be able to have our drive-in service and maintain social distancing, maintain everything that we're supposed to do. And it's not because the government says so. It's because we want a safe church. We want a healthy church. I don't want anyone to get sick. And so we'll do what we need to do, and we'll just praise the Lord through it. But I do want to spend a few minutes with you, so plan on that tomorrow, or I'm sorry, not tomorrow, don't come tomorrow, but next Sunday after the drive-in service, we'll get together for just a few short minutes that we can discuss a few things and be able to take care of some business that needs to be taken care of and keep moving forward. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing and how He's protected our church. And so I just ask you to be mindful, be patient through all of this. And God's already with us, and we'll see His hand, and we'll give Him the glory for it. Take your hymn books if you have it with you, and let's go to In the Garden, page number 86. This Brother Russell loves this song. I don't lead it a whole lot. I love it. It's a great song, and it's sometimes it's hard to sing as a congregational. So maybe if you've only got a few there at the house, it'll be like a little duet anyway. So we'll figure that out. Page number 86, In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. With me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. On the third, I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling. But He bids bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. One more song here. Let's turn over to page number 56. Page number 56, when we all get to heaven. Now listen, that all sounds great when we all get to heaven, and I'm afraid that we hear the lies of society today that says that everyone's going to heaven or that everyone's going to be all right. But the truth of the matter is if you're not washed in the blood, you're not going anywhere. Well, you're going somewhere, but it sure isn't heaven. And I encourage you tonight, if you don't know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're saved and trusting in what Jesus Christ has done in the finished work of Calvary, my dear friend, you're not going to heaven, and you should make sure that you trusted in Him and called upon Him for salvation. Page number 56, when we all get to heaven. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. We all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Now hold on, I know that we've already sang two verses of this, and you know that I always love it when we sing out on shout. I was just thinking so many times, we're here at our own house, and maybe you're in the same situation. I don't know how many times you've heard the neighbors a hollering and a yelling, and you know, it'd be all right if they think that you're hollering and yelling tonight, and maybe they'd even kind of tune in here going, what in the world is going on over there? It's all right to have church at home. You know, I've missed our tent meetings, being out in that public, being out in that opportunity. I enjoyed last Sunday preaching from the porch. I felt that the acoustics was wonderful, just able to really broadcast out there. I enjoy it. I think that the world needs to hear us shout the victory. I'm not a loser. I know where we're going. I know where I'm going. I can't answer for you, but let's sing these third and fourth verse and sing out the shout. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen, amen. I appreciate my family back there shout the victory with me. And it sure is good to be able to shout the victory. We live in a time where so many are trusting in a false hope. And I really am glad that we can shout the victory. I know I'm on the winning side. I love that song. I'm thankful I'm on the winning side. I know there was a time where we were losers. Every one of us were losers. And I'm thankful I'm not a winner because of me, but I'm a winner on whose side I'm on. And the one that I stand on. Take your Bibles this evening. Turn back over to the book of Jude. Turn back to that little book that has so much in it. I was praying and finishing things up this afternoon and realized that it sure would have been good if I would have hung on to this and I could have broke it up into seven or maybe even 10 lessons for a Wednesday night, especially since we're in the midst of confusion and on service times and everything. So we'll see what the Lord has for us this next week, but I am thankful to be able to preach out of the book of Jude. I love how much meat is right here in these 25 verses. God has just got it jam-packed full of goodies. A lot of golden nuggets here in this little book. And I'd like to draw some of them out tonight. And I would like to be an encouragement to you. I've been watching a man on YouTube, and he's a finance advisor, tax advisor, I don't know what you want to call him, but he's giving updates on the stimulus pack and what all's going on in the government as far as financial wise, what their plans are, and I usually try to catch it like that. He gets on the phone and calls the politicians and is talking to them, but he had just posted something on there yesterday. It was just called Encouraging Words. And I didn't listen to all of it. I'll be honest, I don't need encouragement from money. But, truthfully, I'm thankful that when we open the Word of God, there's some encouraging words there. So often folks look at the Bible as just a time of do's and don'ts and a time of, you can and you can't they get discouraged from it. But I'm thankful that the Word of God has much more than that. The Word of God is to where we can really get some encouragement from it. And so I'd like to draw some of that out tonight. If God had helped me, I'd like us to look back at verse number 20, and we'll look at the rest of this chapter, verse 20 through 25, and just see what the Lord has in store for us. If you would, Jude, verse number 20, says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Lord, that we can come tonight and we can get some encouragement. Lord, that we truly can make a difference. Lord, I pray that you would be with me. Lord, help me. I need a fresh anointing. Had a great service this morning. Lord, I know it wasn't what I normally preach or how I normally preach. Lord, the mechanics wasn't the same. But Lord, I'm thankful that you are. I'm thankful that you didn't change just because the service mechanics did. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us again tonight. We need you tonight, Lord. Father, it may seem a little more relaxed. It may seem a little more not like our normal church, but to be honest, Lord, you're not a rigid God. You're a personal God. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and every individual heart that's out there tonight and just encourage them as only you can. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Notice, if you would, as child of God, we are a peculiar people. We are a people. The Bible tells us that we're a peculiar people, meaning a people of possession. We have been purchased, and we are God's possession. And that should hold some credit to us. That should hold some value to see that God loved us so much that He desired to purchase us. People take great pride in all of their items and objects that we purchase and that we buy. But may I tell you that God took great love to purchase us. And the Bible teaches us that we're a royal priesthood. It speaks about a holy nation. And I know you're going to say, preacher, that was His desire for Israel. Well, in the New Testament, we find that because we're purchased, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. I'm not speaking about America. I'm talking about God's kingdom. I'm talking about those that are saved. And we should be peculiar. And there's a certain lifestyle that we have. The Bible speaks about our conversation. Now, that's not just the words that we say. Our life is much more than just words. And yes, I know I speak constantly as a preacher. I'm always speaking. I'm speaking to you. Someone asks advice. I'm speaking to them. But our life is more than just words. It's when we talk about our conversation and being different than this world, it's altogether different. It's everything about us that's different. It's not just because we throw an amen in there or a hey brother, hey sister, or even a hallelujah. We really go out on the limb and we say praise the Lord. But no, it's more than that. It's everything about our life should be different. And this is something that the world knows. You see, the world knows what the child of God is supposed to live like, or at least the professing Christian is supposed to live like. It's amazing, though, how many in the world know what the Christian is supposed to be like, or know what that one that walks with the Lord is supposed to be like, but yet are exempt from it. And that's even happened in our own churches in the fact that we've got this lifestyle that we're supposed to live, but we pick and we choose what we want. And God's wanting to encourage us tonight. He's wanting to make a difference. I find in verse number 22, he says, "And some have compassion, making a difference." And I know you're going to say, preacher, it's speaking about soul winning. But I began to think about just that little phrase of making a difference. These five verses that are here, or six verses that are here from verse number 20 to 25, these six verses will make a difference in our life if we'll apply them the way that God's going to instruct us. And that we can really come to that place where God can make a difference in our life. We're going to find four practices that God gives us here. And all of these we have from Him. Once again, just like I said this morning, this isn't just a suggestion. This is still the Word of God. This is just as applicable today as it was in the day that Jude had pinned this down. In my Bible, it says it was around AD 66. I know that many years have passed since then, but I'm thankful that God's Word still applies today. And I believe if we'd truly be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord, that if we'll allow God to change our life and put these or implement these practices in our life, there's going to be a difference in the end. And so let's look at these four practices, but I want us to look at making a difference, because it does no good to see what they are if we don't apply them and then see the results from it. And so these six verses will teach us about this idea of making a difference. Notice, if you would, we find the assurance from these practices. In verse number 20 and 21, we find an assurance that comes because we implement these in our own lives. May I tell you, assurance, you can't have my assurance. I'm not talking about insurance. Insurance is for the dead. Assurance is for the living. Just kind of a thought there. Insurance does me absolutely no good. It would do my wife and my children good. I don't have any, so it won't do them any good either way. But I'm thinking about assurance of life instead of insurance for life. And so if you would, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And so we look here and we find this assurance that's given. First of all, we find it in these four practices here. It will give us that assurance if they're in our life. first and foremost is building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's what we looked at this morning. And I'm not going to re-preach it, but it is the fact that we remember that we're saved. Boy, I'm thankful that I have a personal Savior. It's a personal salvation. As much as you can't have my assurance, it's because you can't have my salvation. I remember meeting with more than one, and the moment that they begin to worry or wonder when or if or how, countless times. And I don't make them pray a prayer. I don't want you to pray a prayer. I don't want you to put your assurance in a prayer. I don't want you to put your faith in a prayer. I want you to come to the place where you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so we need to have that time where we remember, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And so then it's the fact of growing. Boy, I'm telling you, there are many today that are babes in Christ, and it's because they're dull of hearing. They do not want to hear it. They don't want to come to that place of growth. And so I'm not going to re-preach this morning, but we look at the first step is coming to the place where we build ourselves upon our most holy faith. And then we find as well in verse number 20, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'd like you to hold your place in the book of Jude, but I want you to turn over to the book of Mark, chapter number 11. I want you to understand the importance here of prayer and how prayer nurses faith. You know, I look in my own life and I see the times that God's answered prayer and how my faith grows from that. And then I'll pray again and God answers that, and then it grows. And then I'll pray again and he answers that, and it grows. And I pray again and he answers that, and it grows. And so prayer nurses faith. It gives you that, well, Lord, you know, I'm not really sure, and I'm thankful that God blesses us in spite of us. I'm thankful that God answers prayer in spite of our lack of faith. But notice, if you would, in Mark chapter number 11, verse number 22. Mark 11 and verse number 22. I want you to see here the order. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. You say, preacher, he's talking about having faith in God. That's exactly what I was saying. Building up yourself on your most holy faith is the very first step. And he says here, have faith in God. But look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and thou shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And so God says here, look, you're building on your most holy faith, and now I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now I'd like to remind you about Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 12, because this is what it would look like. The Bible tells us rejoicing in hope. That's building up yourselves in your most holy faith, or on your most holy faith. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18, the Bible says pray without ceasing. That's what this would be. He says pray in the Holy Ghost. There's some times you don't even know how to pray, and I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit knows how to utter for you. He knows how to speak for you. It's just the fact that we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Then we find as well this next in verse number 22. He says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. And this is in Jude, verse number 22. He says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. I didn't end up writing it down or pinning it down. And to my shame, I can't recall it in my memory, but I do know it. In Psalm 37, look at you don't have to turn there, but verse number 23, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You see, God's telling us here, he says, keep in my way. Keep the path that I've chose you to walk. Keep that path. That's where my grace is. You know what I've found? Is so many people want to walk somewhere that God's not and still have the love of God upon them. And don't get me wrong. I believe in Hebrews 13:5 that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But I do believe that we can come out of the will of God and not walk where he wants us to walk. And so he says, keeping yourself in the love of God. May I tell you that if you'll do these, you're going to have a difference. It's going to make a difference in your life. And then I find as well that looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if we're to look at the whole verse here, the rest of this verse, in verse number 21, he says of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. Well, why is it so important that we look to the mercy of Jesus Christ unto eternal life? May I tell you that we are, even as a saved person, now listen, even as a saved person, and I'm secure in my salvation, and I know where I'm going, but may I remind you that I'm not going anywhere on my own merit. Even today, it's not on my own merit, it's still on the mercy. God has still given us mercy, He's still given us grace. We look here, and so often we forget that we're saved by grace and not by works. We forget that I'm not even kept by works. I'm still kept by grace. I'm still kept out by His mercy. I still don't receive the judgment of God because of the mercy of God that He has upon me. Notice, if you would, over in the book of Acts, chapter number 4. In Acts, chapter number 4, we are reminded here of the first persecution that John and Peter had received. And in Acts, chapter number 4, verse number 10, He says, be it known unto y'all, that was the southern version, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Look at verse 11. This is the stone which it was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we look here and we realize that if I would continue to look for the mercy of God unto eternal life, I realize the whole way that I'm going, the whole walk that I have is still in the mercy of God. It's still because of His love and His mercy. God is always merciful. God is always in all situations. Listen to me. There's not a single person that's ever received what they justly deserved. God's always merciful. The mercy of God endureth forever. And so we look as well. He goes on. This looking for mercy, or looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus and Jesus Christ unto eternal life, not only does it remind me of my salvation and it keeps me in my claim for eternal life, claiming the mercy of God, but it also keeps me from the snares of sin. In 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, it'd do us good tonight if we'd just remember in the mercy that was spent for our eternal life, and that we'd look for that, and we'd really hold on to that, and we'd come to the place that sin should not have the place in our life that it so often does. And it is still a choice. I know you're going to say, preacher, I can't help it. I'm still just a sinner. I'm saved by grace. No, as a child of God, sin has no dominion over us. We have a choice. We have a choice. And so often we don't always make the right choice. And so we find as well the application, not just the assurance from these practices, but we find the application of these practices. Look at verse number 22 and 23. In verse number 22, the Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so we look at this, we find first of all the example. Now, what I find in our society, and when I say that, I'm not talking about our country, I'm talking about the saved, the independent fundamental. I can't speak for others, but the independent fundamental, born again, King James Bible preaching Baptist church, so often will point fingers at who someone is and where someone stands and what practices they have. Almost to the point that we forget how much we hate sin instead of hate the sinner. And it comes across the wrong way. I actually want to preach this backwards. I want to preach this from the end of verse number 23, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. May I tell you, you cannot apply these practices without starting in this manner. You see, because it's not the fact that I look out there and I see someone in sin and I go, boy, what wickedness and how awful and how vile that is. No, it's the fact that I know that I'm always in a battle. Until God calls me home, there's a battle that we're always going to face. There's a battle that we're always going to fight. And the child of God should be in that constant battle. It should be the fact that we're going to die to that flesh daily. That tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to have to die to the flesh. That tomorrow by noon, I'm going to have to die again. Tomorrow by the evening, I'm going to have to die again. That old flesh is going to continue. And you say, preacher, do you really have that much pull of the flesh? Every one of us have a pull of the flesh in some way, some attitude that we have, some action that we perform, something the flesh is speaking to us, the flesh is encouraging us. So many times we give Satan the credit when truly it all has to do with the old flesh, and we drag him around everywhere. Sometimes we lift him up. Sometimes we come to that place that we think that he's really not that bad of a guy. He's really good down in heart. And may I tell you, the flesh is never good. And if we'd come to the place that we hate our own flesh that's spotted, listen, we hate it when our own flesh spots the garment that God gave us. I look at Job chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. Now, that does not mean he was sinless, but it does tell us a little bit about him. He says, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He feared God and he eschewed evil. You know what it would be tonight if we really want to apply these practices in our life? And I know you're going to say, preacher, we need to reach others. We need to be able to reach the lost. You'll never reach the lost in such a way where they feel that you hate them instead of your own garment spotted by the flesh. And so I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. And I know some of you really kind of get aggravated at the way I preach and things that are being said, as far as I try to not go places that serve alcohol. I try to not go places that, listen, there's sometimes you can't avoid things, but the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Last thing I want to do is be a stumbling block. How many times do we cast a stumbling block before instead of being a stepping stone to? And so I look not just at the example of this application, I look at the examination. I look at the examination. There's two different kinds of people here, and you will come across them. I look and I find, now I'm speaking about two different categories, but within each category there's two different types. The first, it says, and some have compassion. There's some people that we're going to come across that we're not going to be able to be rough with, that you're not going to be able to preach hellfire and damnation. It's going to overwhelm them. And to be honest, I don't want someone to make a profession because they're trying to escape hell. I want them to make a profession because they see that's the wages of their sin and they're tired of it. They don't want that anymore. I know that there's not a single person, if they would be honest, would say that they want to go to hell. But in the same sense, I don't want someone to just pray a prayer and think that they have fire insurance and go out and live their life the same as they always have, and everything's going to be fine. When they get to heaven, they're going to show their insurance card and they're going to go in, because that's not how it works. And he says, and some have compassion. And so there's this an examination in first person, or the first category of people I want to look at, or the type of people I want to look at, is the lost. And we need to have compassion on them. We need to have compassion on them. We've got to come to that place that we see that they're a soul. There's many that are unlearned. There's many that are do not understand the urgency that's in front of them. But he does go on, and in this same kind of people, in this same class of people, in the lost people, he says, and others, save with fear. There's some that we've got to tell them that there's a consequence. There's some that we've got to be straight up and forward with them and let them know, hey, look, if you died right now, you're not going to heaven. I know I just said it a few moments ago as we had looked there and we had seen there in when we all get to heaven, I just told you not everyone's really going. I've been at funerals where the preacher will stand up and he'll preach, and he'll preach that person that was a drunkard, that the people in the pews in that chapel know good and well that he didn't live anywhere close to a godly lifestyle, and that preacher will preach him all the way up to heaven, put him right there by the throne. And my friend, listen, I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm not saying he couldn't have been, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people that don't understand that the wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we need to be wise with it. We can't be in such a manner that we're hating and coming off in such an attitude. I've already mentioned, I think it was Wednesday night, I mentioned I don't want associated with some of the churches that are out there, Westboro Baptist Church that used to, I don't know if they still do, I haven't really paid too much attention, but they used to protest the veterans coming home and their funerals, and they would hang up the signs and God hates the gays, and they would just have all that hatred on there. The Bible says some have compassion. And others save but with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And so we know that urgency. And some of them need to understand there's a fire right beneath them and that hell is real. It's okay to preach hell. In fact, we're commanded to. Jesus taught more about hell than he ever did about heaven. And so we look here at the examination. But what about not just for the lost? If you look at these six verses, they're not speaking about the lost. They're speaking about the saved. What would happen if we made a difference in the brethren? He says making a difference. He said if you'll apply these four practices in your life, then you can apply it into others' lives. You can apply it into other people's lives. And you can apply it into other brethren's lives. He says, and some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so I look at this and I find that there's two types of saved as well. There's the weak and the willing. You see, sometimes saved people get wrapped up in the wrong area. Some are weak and they get overtaken. They get weary in well-doing and they fall to the wayside. And if we had compassion to come by and extend an arm, extend a hand, extend a shoulder. Sometimes they get hurt in the battle and we need to extend a shoulder, let them cry on it a little while. Maybe it's just giving them an ear so that they can talk. But if we had that compassion, or have we kicked them when they're down because they're not standing where we are? I look as well, and I think not just about the weak, but the willing. There's times that they know the Bible. You must admit that there's even times in your life that you know what the Word of God says, and yet you don't do it. In James chapter 4 and verse number 17, he says, when you know to do it and do it not, it is a sin. And so we would look at it and we would say that there's some that are willing. There's some that are willing. But the book of Galatians teaches us in chapter 6 and verse number 1. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How many times do you hear of a brother being ran down instead of lifted up? And when one is fallen into sin and they're willingly there, and have we ever told them that we love them, that we're praying for them, and told them that go to them and go ahead and confront that sin and let them know that that's not where they need to be? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. We know the terror of the Lord. we know that his judgment is just, and he will judge exactly the way it's supposed to be. Have we ever loved someone enough to tell them the truth? You know, the wounds of a friend are many. Someone who truly loves you is going to tell you the truth and let you know that where you're walking and the area that you're going is not right. And do we love them enough to tell them the truth? He says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's not just in that compassion. Some of them you're going to have to go ahead and let them know that there is a sin unto death. I'm not praying for that sin unto death, but there is a sin unto death. And what would happen if we were able to pull them out of the fire, restore them back to a brother or a sister in Christ? And so I find as well the accountability of these practices. I had mentioned from the very beginning that they'll make a difference in your life, but there's going to be an accountability for you not making a difference or letting them make a difference in your life. You know, ignorance is something that we always call on. We always say, well, you know, I didn't know. I see Brother Richards on here and amen. And so we could always go with Brother Richards traveling down Ash Branch Road towards Pembroke. And he would tell the police officer when he gets pulled over, I didn't know that the speed decreased when you go to town. I didn't know that. And I noticed that we have people signing off. That was probably Brother Richard. And so... You know, I think about the accountability that's going to come from that. Look, if you would, back at verse number 24 and 25 of our text. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I want you to hold that in your mind. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We were singing Solid Rock tonight, and I came across this as I was singing it, and I hadn't sang it necessarily all the way through. But the very last verse of that psalm, it says, "And when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." Now, we consider what God is doing and how he's allowed us. I love verse number 24. He says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Now, understand this. It's not just the fact that he's able, but may I tell you that he's willing? He's willing to present you faultless. He's willing to keep you from falling. He's willing to allow you to apply these practices in your life, be able to have that assurance, and as you grow, be able to share it with others that it's going to bring him glory today. It's none of these practices are based on our ability, but everything is based on the ability of Jesus Christ. And in that, it's not because God's just going to shine that sunshine on you today. And boy, if you'll just keep working long enough and hard enough, he knows that you're doing. And boy, he's just going to shine that. No, listen to me. God is perfect all the time. God allows you to come, and God enables you that strength. And he's willing to enable you to walk in this manner, to live this life that's going to be pleasing to him, that's going to bring glory to him. But may I remind you when we're supposed to bring glory to him? You see, the accountability of these practices, let me give you some insight. When you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, it's too late to start applying them. When you're standing at the judgment seat, it's too late to live for him. But Matthew 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I don't know if you'd be upset if I alluded to the fact that these four practices would be your good works. You applying that to others in your life and those that are around you and letting that light so shine before men that they would see your good works would glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I can't help but think about the very last part of verse number 24, that He's going to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. But yet we grumble and complain on how to live and what all's going on. The book of Jude was written in a time of corruption, a time of frustration, a time of pain, a time of uncertainty. But yet God said, I've still got the answer. It's still me. And it's a joy for me to be your Savior. It's a joy for me to purchase you. And so all I can say is it's a joy for me to live for Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like God to make a difference in my life, that through me, He could make a difference in someone else's life. And that would all bring glory to Him. The only wise God and Savior. No, our Savior. Boy, I'm thankful that God has allowed us to be a part of His wonderful plan in the times that we don't know what all's going on, but we know He's in control. And I don't trust in anyone but Him. And I encourage you to do the same. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Thank You for the truth that we have through Your Word. Help us tonight, Lord, that we would really make a difference in our life by allowing You to make a difference in our life. Lord, that we would take these four practices. Lord, allow them to build an assurance for us. But then, Lord, allow us to stand closer, stand stronger, making a difference in others' lives because You've made a difference in ours. And then, Lord, that our life would bring You glory and honor and praise. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's good to have everyone tonight. I appreciate everyone tuning in. I noticed we're missing quite a few. I encourage you. Once again, and I know I've promoted it from the very beginning, but push subscribe, become a subscriber online, and hold on, Bubba. I'll let you on in a minute. Then after you subscribe, encourage others to subscribe. We've got 93 right now. I don't know. We might be dropping like flies after I've been preaching so hard the last couple of times, but you'll be all right. And I encourage you. Let others know. And Lord willing, we'll be back. Of course, we'll be here Wednesday night and have service again online. But then next Sunday, we'll have our drive-in service. And it'll start at 10 o'clock. And we'll all be together again. And I look forward to seeing everyone. And do plan on having a brief little talk afterwards so that we can discuss a few things. And we'll get everything going. Amen. Amen. I think Jeremiah wants to say hi.
Hi.
And so we'll see everyone later. He's feeding his face. I think he's eating vanilla wafers. So you thank you, Brother Duke. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Let everyone get going here. And it's good to see y'all. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night.
Hey,
love
everybody.
Y'all and have a good week. Bye bye.
Hey everybody.
Hi,
Jeremiah.
Hey,
Grandma.
We
love you. I love you. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. We appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and let everyone know. Let me record. Let me.